read this quote, the have. I just like the way he says it. This is written, this person passed away a few years ago, but he was one of the most famous theologians in church history. He said, the Christian life in all its aspects has been taken up in the life of Jesus, lived in our name and on our behalf. Hear that again. The Christian life in all of its aspects has been taken up into his life, Jesus, lived in our name and on our behalf. Faith is understood rightly, therefore, as an echo of his faith, sustained and made perfect in him. We are set free from the burden of looking over our shoulders, worrying if we have enough faith. What little faith we have has been taken up and perfected in Christ. I love that scripture because we're told that, those of you who are CTKers, you've heard this till it's coming out of your ears, hopefully, flowing like rivers, is that the dominant phrase in all the scripture, the gospel, can be summed up in two little words, in Christ. You're saved not because God paid for your sins in Christ. That's true. That's part of the deal. What's saved you is that you are now in Christ, and that's what makes you a new creation. Your sins were paid for, but your sins were paid for, so that's no longer an issue. What makes you saved now is that you've been placed into the very life of Jesus. And there are a number of places in the New Testament, Galatians 2:20 being the most famous one, that says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We talk a lot about surrender. That's good. We need to talk about surrender. But our surrender daily is just a remembering that you're in Christ and therefore you're one with his surrendered heart. Your faith, because we live the life by faith, is just an echo of the fact that he believes as your life. In whatever situation you're facing, he believes that he's able. And therefore, my faith is just echoing the fact, well, if you believe that you're able, then I can rest in that. That's faith. This is an echo of his faith. The great lie of the enemy is that somehow we were standing here lost, and that Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe in that, that he comes along, he taps me, and he says, now, you're forgiven, and you're on the way to heaven. And I've given you the Holy Spirit to help you do the best you can to live a good life on my behalf. There's no freedom in that. The gospel is that the person that you used to be, the one who is controlled by fear and greed, lust, pride, whatever it might be, anger, that person was crucified in the person of Jesus and buried forever. And a whole new you was raised up in Christ. And now it's Jesus himself living his life through your humanity, living his life in your name. That's the Christian life. That's the gospel. Not preaching that is to not preach the gospel. Forgiveness of sins is just a gateway into the new creation that you are in him. We, those of you who are Wednesday nighters who come, who've been hearing Galatians, that's what Paul argues every verse in the book of Galatians. Because what happened to Galatians, they heard the gospel. Paul was their spiritual father. But after Paul left, some other people came along who were Christians, but who believed you had to add some kind of performance stuff to it. Because if you didn't, you could never really live a holy life. And Paul writes the gospel, writes the book of Galatians. Basically, I was saying to somebody that he put all of his eggs in this one basket. You are now attached to the life of Jesus. And Jesus is able to live his holy life through you as long as you just trust him. He put every egg in that basket. That Jesus was big enough to live a life of holiness and victory through you. And you don't have to add any laws to it. That's a remarkable risk, or is it? Is it risk to trust that Jesus can actually do it? See, here's what Galatians 3 says. For all of you who've been baptized into Christ, that's what he said, who've been plunged, immersed into the very life of Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. So we've used these analogies before. Bracken is like the Dr. Seuss of Christianity. When he reads I always come prepared with a word, but when he shares the gospel, reads the gospel, I'm always prepared to change direction because it just sounds different. He needs to do those tape series things, you know, that does the whole Bible because it just makes it sound better. I thought, it's always sounding good. It's like when Bracken, no matter what I do, I can't make it sound like that. So I could try to mimic Bracken. I could try to memorize what Bracken, I could record some of his phraseology, the way he presents things. You know, I don't type good, so I do all my typing by speaking into a thing. And Karen and I both have said, if I could just talk like Bracken, this thing would recognize my words a lot better. It would just be amazing. But I could mimic Bracken, but what if I could actually clothe myself with Bracken? What if I could somehow, in a spiritual way, we become like one, where I'm in him and he's in me. And so Bracken's spirit is now living in me. And when I open my mouth and talk, Bracken's actually speaking through me. That's freedom. Trying to mimic Bracken, trying to be like Bracken, is performance. And that's what he talks about in Galatians 5 as Paul is kind of summing up his argument. He says, it was for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. Therefore, stand firm in your freedom. And then when he gets down to verse 14, he said, and God's calling for us all is freedom. Freedom from what? Of trying to earn acceptance before God because I've been good enough, performed. That's the whole guilt thing, right? None of you have ever felt guilty before. I understand. But guilty that somehow I've blown it. I can't really know his favor. We were sharing before. If you've ever been convicted of anything, that's God's shout to you that it's not too late to experience everything he has for you. Or he wouldn't bother to tell you. That's God shouting to you that you're in me. So why don't you the next moment let me, let Bracken live through you. And then that's freedom. The freedom of trying to find favor with God by my own performance, acceptance. The freedom of trying to live the Christian life out of sincerity but in my own strength. That's not freedom, that's bondage. Freedom is that I'm in union with a person named Jesus. It's even better than Bracken being living inside of me. It's Jesus living inside of me. And every step of the way, just remembering that fact and that Jesus has faith for this. If you're facing anything in your life today that you go, I just don't know if I have faith for that. This is going on, this person or this situation. Well, you know what? He does. And if you can simply believe that he has faith for it, and if he has faith for it, that's okay with you. That's you walking in faith. This last verse, I love this verse. It's from Timothy. It's a great scripture. And let me just say this to you in these days that we live in. People, are things important? Yes. Are things on the outside that happen to us important? Yes. But I wake up every day, regardless of what's going on in my home or what's going on in this country, I wake up every day going, it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set me free and I'm going to stand firm in that freedom and I don't care. If Saddam Hussein is resurrected from the dead, he becomes our president, I'm going to walk in the freedom. I can't compromise that. I'm going to walk in the Spirit because the most precious thing that I have is my salvation. And my salvation isn't going to heaven one day. It's getting to experience heaven today because Christ is living his life through me. Now, the other things matter, sure, but they will not cost me my freedom. You with me? That's true every day. So the person you live with is in a bad mood, it's for freedom's sake. My calling is to walk in freedom. Now, you may want to walk in whatever nonsense, but I'm in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just trusting him and watch him demonstrate his adequacy, his ability, his patience. He has faith for this walk, this life. And I'm in on that. That's why I love what this guy says. Our faith is actually just an echo. An echo is a sound that reverberates from a first sound. In every situation, the first sound is Jesus believes that he's adequate. He believes that his story is perfect. He believes that he knows what he's doing. He believes, you with me, that he's ordering your steps. Well, yeah, but what if their person's behavior is messing me up? Well, they may be in sin, but that situation is still what he's called you to let him walk in. That's freedom. And so I'm really concerned that, one, so many Christians don't understand the gospel. And then, two, we let so many things on the outside impact. We can be grieved over stuff, but the fruit of the Spirit is a continual fruit-bearing thing, 12 months out of the year. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Boom. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Wow, peace that passes all understanding. Yep, that's the deal. You with me? The land of promise is Jesus. And I'm in that land of promise. The kingdom of heaven, the scripture says in Luke 22, is within me. Do I care what happens in my house? Or do I care what happens in this situation, Selma? Do I care what happens in my country? Yes, I do. But am I going to let any of those things rob me of my freedom, my salvation? I don't mean go to hell, but the fact that I'm saved from the self, the fallen self, and my independent, puny ability to live life in the Christian life. Am I going to let anything, anybody cost me that? Nope. I didn't get saved so I could go, okay, I'm so excited about getting saved because now I can be a Republican or now I can be a Democrat. I got saved because life wasn't working really well. I wasn't even concerned about going to heaven or hell. I was living in hell, creating hell for everybody else. Nobody, nothing has the right to rob me of that. I may be fighting in a place in terms of spiritually or contending for something, being involved, caring, but nothing. I will give nothing the right to cost me the promised land that I live in. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.